Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's back.
Three's company.
For the ramble. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. It's lovely to have you on board this rambling ship. James or Jim is with me.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson's in the crow's nest.
Hello.
And Luke Moore's in the depths.
I thought you were going to say poop deck. Hello, all right.
Luke, it's a pleasure to have you back.
Enough of your sarcasm.
He's combed his hair a different way. Yeah. Ooh la la, somebody's been to Crete.
Yeah, and a few of us mentioned it. He went, whoa, why is everyone saying my hair's different? Because it is.
Well, this is how they do it on the continent, so you have to deal with it.
Really? Because you fit in so perfectly.
Yeah. Well, it's a sound that players should go overseas. I've done it. Yeah. It's not that good. Stay in.
Like Matt Derbyshire.
Yes, James, a very good point.
Matt Derbyshire's back on loan in the UK now.
He is,
isn't
that's
he?
What I mean.
Yeah.
Let's begin from the start. Alex scored a beauty against Arsenal, I'm sure everybody agrees. a smashing free kick. Gentlemen, cast your minds back to the time before now. Can you think of a particularly good smashed free kick that zoomed into the back of the net, straight from free kick? James or Jim?
Well, I don't know if it zoomed, but he certainly smashed it. I'm going to go for Janino Panambacau against Barcelona.
Just any Janino.
But the specific one I want to go for is it was last year against Barcelona at home, I believe, Lyon were.
And, in the Champions League, of course.
Yes, and it was almost a corner. Like, the angle was absolutely spectacular, but he really smashed it. But he gets them high and looping, and he just always seems to get them right. If you only watch his goals on YouTube.
Was it 2 years ago? Was it the year before last, or was it last year?
It was 2009. Okay. So it would have been.
Okay. You're stage. Right, though. He does get the dip.
He does. And just it's like he's absolutely perfected the art and science of taking a free kick.
Yeah. Well, as we said before, like, a lot of goalkeepers have been stopped having walls because they just wanted to see as much of the ball as they could.
Ridiculous.
A very, very strong start.
Yeah.
Petey?
I'm going to go for a man who only seems to take this sort of free kick and a one close to my heart is challenged.
Should we move on? Anyone in particular?
The one against Georgia where he was in the 6 yard box. Remember Teddy Sheringham backheeled it and he just leathered it as hard as he could. And there was, I think, there was 7 men on the line.
Yeah. I thought you were going to go for the one against Leicester at St James.
There was one against Sunderland that was quite good as well.
And
when he was bandaged up, his head was all bandaged up.
Oh yeah, I remember
there was
that
one at Old Trafford, which is probably his best one actually.
But not as good as the Georgia one because it was closer and more powerful, and it made me excited.
Right, it was in the 90th minute of a 2-0 England home win against Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, fans. Luke,
I've got a Janino one as well.
No,
you? But my one's better than your one, so I'm sticking with it. It's the one he scored, and I know you two, Jim and Marcus, have definitely seen it because I remember sending it to you. Might have been a little bit before Pete was involved, but we'll definitely get up on
those days.
Yeah. Or as I like to call it, the good old days.
Yeah, good old days. Yeah.
The glory era.
It was in 2008 and it was in the semi-final of the Coupe de France, the French Cup, and he smashed this free kick. I'm going to stick my neck out and say 45 yards out.
I know the one you're right.
Don't stick your neck out, he'll hit you.
No, yeah, you'll take your head off. And it moved one way, then the other, then back again. So the keeper like swiveled his body, couldn't get anywhere near it. Right. And almost took the goalpost out of the ground. It was ridiculous. It was like, not even the two blokes standing near him celebrated. They were just like, did you see that? Just standing there thinking, what is happening here? It was a great hit. It was the best free kick I've ever seen. So I'm going to go for that.
Magic. Yeah, I'm going to go for a Roberto Carlos one. Now, there's obviously many to choose from, but I'm not going for that one. Mm. I'm going to go for one. It was away to Argentina, for Brazil, of course, in a World Cup qualifier for Germany 06, I believe. And Argentina won 3-1. Riquelme got the second, and a beauty it was. Left foot, top corner outside the box. And they were 3-0 down, Brazil, and Carlos had one. And it was at an angle, but he hit it across the keeper into the keeper's corner, and it just absolutely zoomed into the top corner, like absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
pop bang, lovely.
You gotta love a bit of that.
And I tell you what, that is Roberto Carlos all over. Mm. Luke's hand up.
One thing that's worth mentioning about the Alex free kick is that no one's. I might be making a ridiculous point here, but and I'm not saying that that Fabianski was in goal, wasn't he? I'm not saying that Fabianski should have saved it. Mm. But Arsenal fell for the oldest trick in the book.
Well, the Chelsea players stood
four
on the
wall. In the wall, Malouda between him, them, and Arshavin. And he just moved out of the way, and no one moved.
And he hit it where he...
That's one of the first things a keeper should be saying. Yeah. Get tight.
Well, we'll come on to that, but we haven't dished down points.
Oh, of course, sorry, yeah, jump the gun. I've forgotten how it works.
Yeah, you have. he's back, and he's got the points.
Yeah. Oh,
it's Luke Moore.
Sorted that out earlier, Jim.
Somebody got some duty-free saves, didn't they?
Yeah. Honourable mentions have got to go to that Venezuelan player. Do you remember the guy who scored a free kick from pretty much the centre circle, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's
absolutely
right.
Ridiculous. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, and another player who was an absolute git for a free kick, Georges Alberts for Rangers.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Absolute marvellous.
Let's not say ridiculous anymore.
No.
But all those free kicks were ridiculous.
This is getting ludicrous.
Yeah.
I've got holes.
He doesn't.
Ludicrous.
Chelsea beat Arsenal 2-0.
Mm.
James.
Nothing has changed in a year.
No. They should have got a point.
You think?
Yes.
Just paste this bit in from last year's
chart. Well, it was pretty much... I mean, Arsenal had a few sort of chances early on, and Wenger said that they had Chelsea on the ropes at points, and that's true, they did, but Chelsea are so good in a defensive mode, they're completely unfazed by being attacked and not having the ball.
Like Inter.
A lot like that, yeah. Mm. And we just couldn't find a way around them. I mean, I don't think they've conceded a goal at Stamford Bridge in the league this season. I know Shola Amiobi scored two. So, wow.
Yeah, that's funny in itself.
Yes, I mean, it was a difficult game, and in a way, I think it's good that we've had that game after a Champions League game, because we'd have probably lost it anyway.
Yeah,
it's just getting to that point where they're just so far ahead of us, and it's
Arsenal. I mean, Chelsea really pack the box after as soon as the ball gets anywhere near their box, they seem to have so many men over.
Look at the players they've got, though. Look at the players in front of their back four. Mm. Ramirez, Essien,
Mikel.
I mean, come on.
Well, look at the size of the players all over the pitch. They're all huge guys, and they just but with a lot of skill, and they just power through, and they're just overrunning. They overrun us, I suppose, in terms of just the sort of professionalism and quality. Like, obviously, you know, Arsenal did play well, I think it's fair to say, for a lot of the game, but it just wasn't enough.
I thought Arsenal should have got a point.
Well, they played. The interesting thing I found, and I'm not sure it's to do with the introduction of Shamak, is that they almost seem to consciously change their tactics. They hit the flanks a lot more. They got crosses in. Mm. You never see Arsenal cross very often. They got quite a lot of crosses in.
You found Bentner's playing.
But for me, it was apparent that they thought. I might be wrong, but it looked to me like they thought, right, we're going to cross against them. Mm. See how they get on against cross balls with Shamak in there.
Well, Shamak looked really lively at first.
He's a better quality player than Bentner.
He is indeed. Well, let's talk about Blackpool.
Oh yeah, mm. Give him some credit, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. Start with them.
Yeah.
They were superb.
Yeah, they moved the ball around so well.
They've had a wonderful start to the season, and I sincerely hope they don't do a Hull. You know, and I don't think they will do. I think
Oliver's too sensible for that. He's very, very, very level-headed. He actually said it one, but he said, "I'm not gonna even crack a smile until we've got enough points for safety."
Yeah, he did say he did aim for like 35. Yeah, he might want to be up in the ante a bit. But the thing I like about Blackpool at the moment is their bounce back ability. They've had a couple of they had an absolute hiding at the Emirates, but they've
and Chelsea, and they keep.
They just come back from it. They're not fazed by it, and they just keep battling. They keep fighting. They're playing good football as well,
and the great away wins.
I think they've got the best away form in the league.
But do you think they've just gone against teams? I mean, Liverpool's a little bit of a different kettle of fish these days. But do you think Holloway said to them ahead of like Chelsea and Arsenal? He said, "Look, you've earned your chance to play. Just enjoy yourselves. You know, you're not expecting anything from it. Just enjoy yourselves."
Maybe
he did sort of say that he was a little bit naive taking them to Stamford Bridge. They did play away, didn't they?
They were trying to score.
But look at how sort of like fairly average players like DJ Campbell, like Varney, He was beating. To be fair though, he was beating their back four for pace every single time. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Varley Glenn Johnson's awful penalty just ghosted past him and he just stuck out a leg. It was awful, awful performance
of
Liverpool.
For me, Glenn Johnson needs to be. I know I don't really play that sort of formation, but he needs to move the same way Gareth Bale's moved.
Absolutely.
At the back,
and
I'll stick my neck out and say he's worse at the back than he was at Pompey. And at Pompey, he was all right at the back. He was average, but don't forget he went for £18 million.
It's like he's being absolved of defensive responsibility.
Like he's decided that himself.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Hold himself from it. Yeah.
But it's phenomenal.
It's like he's one of those traditional Brazilian kind of wing backs, and they come to Europe and they go, okay, so you want to defend it? Well, hang on. Well, that's not what we do. No.
But in quite a disjointed team, I think that stands out more because he's more likely to get caught out. You know, I think a lot of players aren't doing their jobs, and they just seem so.
Are you worried about
disjointed?
Are you worried for Uncle Roy?
I am. Yeah,
yeah, I'm a little bit. So one thing that gives Blackpool even more credit is, I believe I'm right in saying I read this today. I forget where, so apologies. 10 out of the 11 that started for Liverpool played at the World Cup.
Mm.
And they've got something like an average caps of 55 each or something. Liverpool team.
I think Liverpool were unlucky not to at least get a point because that save at the end from Gilt.
Oh yeah, it's actually massive.
I know it was point blank range.
Good season,
it was
incredible, superb at Newcastle.
Fantastic. Yeah, and did you see Holloway in the crowd at Live at the Apollo?
Yeah, he was smiling then.
He was smiling then. Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Someone pick him out though.
They were picking him out a lot. Yeah.
What were they saying?
It was in Blackpool and the
just ripped
there.
Oh right.
Yeah. But
good.
I think it's worth talking about how sort of Hodgson's been given so little time in a way because the crowd and Liverpool fans.
But they started awfully though.
They have started.
This is the worst start since the '50s. Apparently, they were relegated in the season that they matched this for woefulness.
But someone, I can't remember who it was, but someone off the record at Liverpool said. I wouldn't know who it was because I didn't give their name. But they said the club is the worst state it's been since before Shankly, when it was in an absolute mess.
Yeah,
when we profiled Shankly, we talked about how much of a mess
Liverpool
was in there.
He turned it around.
So you can't blame Hodgson exclusively.
Apparently, they were singing for Dalgleish.
That's
very
what you want.
Short-sighted, isn't it? It's the same as Shearer at Newcastle. Obviously, I mean, Dalgleish has had a proven sort of managerial record before, but I mean, it's
10 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a strange.
Well, 10 years ago, Celtic. He wasn't that great then.
Well, yeah. Hmm. I do worry for Hodgson. You know, I mean, how much do you think the boardroom unrest is affecting the side? Because
it seems to be.
Yeah, it's odd that it would affect the players on the pitch, but it does seem like it's doing something.
Yeah, you'd expect that it would sort of distract people from the poor performances on the pitch, but it just really hasn't.
No,
something running through that. It's running through that club like a cancer, man. It's all over it.
What is up with him?
He wants to go. I think
it seems that way.
Pompey, I think I've heard.
Well, Manchester City.
Mm.
They seem to be going well.
Mm.
They beat Pete's Newcastle.
Well, that sort of game. Newcastle had them on the ropes for a while, and that sort of game is a sort of game. If you want to achieve something, you play reasonably poorly. You've got to win those games, and they did that.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that Adam Johnson could come off the bench and be such a good player, become man of the match.
Yeah, no,
he turned us inside out on that goal.
But
wonderful.
That's the quality they've got there, isn't it? If the game is going away from them, then they can switch it around in a sort of quite drastically effective way.
So Capello's talking about that the Man City contingent, he thinks that could be quite important for England.
Yeah, it would be.
Although a man who's not going to be on international duty is De Jong.
Yep.
Yeah.
That seemed like a strange. I mean, we'll talk about the attack in a minute, I'm sure, but Van Marwijk, it's a bit of an odd decision.
Yeah. Do you want to say what it is?
Well, you need to talk about the tackle because that's exactly the reason why he's not involved.
Well, Van Marwijk has dropped Nigel de Jong from the upcoming international because of the challenge he made on Ben Arthur.
That's no sort of way to treat a World Cup sort of finalist.
Yeah, it's an odd choice.
Did you not think of dropping him after the tackle on Alonso?
Well, you not thought about dropping Van Bommel?
Yeah.
Every week.
Maybe it's Van Bommel who's piping up going, oi.
It's my job.
This is what I do.
Yeah.
He's copying me.
Sorry, boss, can I have a word? How many hatchet men can you have? Because I've already been doing this for ages.
Yeah. I will kick him if I have to.
I'm the new Van Bommel.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to have like a Mortal Kombat style best of three.
Well, this is because De Jong broke Ben Arthur's leg.
Yeah, weirdly enough, right?
He didn't look that hurt.
When he broke the Bolton player's leg back in March, and when he did that in the World Cup final, I wasn't that bothered. But now I'm absolutely furious at De Jong. It's weird,
like
that.
It's like you've got some vested interest.
It's odd that I'm absolutely. beside myself with anger.
It's almost like he's your
at
best
that
player.
Bald prick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was, you heard it break on
both,
TV.
Both bones, yeah.
And it was just, it was weird because the referee didn't even stop the play. I just thought, what the hell was that sound the on the replay? And then they didn't it was even, only until he after
didn't
the
even,
game.
He didn't even yellow card Tevez for jumping in the crowd, to be fair. So it wasn't.
I heard a player, I think he just played left back for Portsmouth in the 90s, called Lee Russell, break his leg in that way. And I was at the game and I heard it from the stand. It's absolutely sickening.
Yeah.
You knew it was straight away. The thing about that refereeing performance and that issue with Ben Arthur and De Jong is that referee was close enough to see that challenge. And he is. And what happened now is there'll be a lot of backlash and a lot of people saying, oh, tackles are getting ridiculous and he should be banned for this, that, and the other. The point is, the referee just needs to apply the law. I looked up the law after the Carl Henry one and the thing, and it says, if it's careless, reckless, or using excessive force, whether he plays the ball or not, it's a red card offence.
Yeah.
Right. But the referee's not implemented that.
No, how did he spot Williamson for the penalty?
Well, that's not a penalty.
It wasn't. Yeah. But I mean, like, how did he spot that and not spot the Ben Arthur?
Now you care.
But it wasn't even the foot that he was playing the ball with. No. It was his other foot. It was already been attended to. He was going nowhere. It was in the centre of the park. It was just horrible.
The actual wording is irrespective of the position of the ball. If it's careless, reckless, or using excessive force. It's like Law 12 of the game. I looked it up. He's not implemented it properly.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people sort of think that, you know, if you win the ball with a hard challenge, that's it, and it's just part of the game, and you're absolutely
right. That's what Kevin Keegan and Nicky Butt think, apparently.
Of course you can go over the top. It's ridiculous.
That's a very, very English thing. Well, got the ball.
Well, that's what Kevin Keegan and Nicky Butt said in the studio. Yeah. It's not. I haven't got a problem with that tackle. It's just unlucky. It's not unlucky. He's broken his leg. He's 23 years old. He may never... Look what happened to Eduardo. He may never play again. He may never play at that level again. Well, and that is a ridiculous decision.
At the early stages of his career at a new club, it's just the worst time that can happen, isn't it? It's absolutely...
I did like how he gave... Although he was taking oxygen on, he did start waving at the crowd as he was going off with a broken leg.
He was high, I reckon. when my dad fell over on the ice and hurt his back and they had to give him oxygen, after about 2 minutes, he was like, oh, it's brilliant. I should do this every day.
As his torso slips off his leg.
I know you might come onto the Carl Henry thing in a minute. I think there's different issues. I don't think it's indicative of the way the game's going, if you like, because these two challenges.
It's not De Jong's fault that he's doing what he's doing. It's not De Jong's fault that he's not suspended. You know what I mean? It's the referee's fault for not spotting.
But what message does it give out to a player like De Jong if he can get away with it every week?
The thing
with Carl Henry is he's just a rubbish player.
Yeah, so
he's not a Premier League player. So
absolutely. The thing is, a lot of people sort of miss with these challenges, and I think Shawcross is guilty of this as well a lot of the time. It's clumsy. It's bad defending. Yeah. It's as you say. If you're doing that, if you're breaking players' legs by mistiming a challenge, even though you're going in robustly and hard because that's part of your game, then that's you being a bad footballer.
But it's like the way that, like, I always used to say, Vinnie Jones used to play. He wasn't a particularly good defender.
He just
used to come into the back of people and he just used to get sent off a lot because he wasn't very good at tackling.
Yeah. Well, the game's moved on now, hasn't it? I mean, a few years ago, that rule was brought in about excessive force. If Nigel de Jong, for example, because this is what happened this weekend, use him as an example, if he is using excessive force regularly because that's part of his game, then he's, it's simple as that. You have to change his game because there's no place for it in the game.
Well, but the thing is, if he keeps getting away with it, then as you say, he will do it. And this is why I think retrospective punishment on things like this is something to explore. I think it could be a good thing.
His fellow Dutchmen's have been making a few headlines. Rafael van der Vaart.
Yeah.
We said he was
better reasons.
Yeah, that's right.
another issue of a lot of the football media in this country on the telly going, oh, no one knows anything about him. Yeah. Well, we do, actually.
He played for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Well, at least Shearer can forget about Ben Arthur again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've just read his Wikipedia, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Why did he go and get injured?
that was crazy as well, because it's not like Ben Arthur hadn't been linked with a move to England for like 3 years, odd. Like,
and he's been capped for France.
Yeah, but I mean, more so than that, even if you just read The Sun, you would know who he is.
You're not having him for ages.
Yeah.
Anyway, but van der Vaart, great start there. I have to say, I think he's a brilliant player, great technique, great goal scoring ability, and all the rest of it. just a tiny word of caution. He's had a little bit of a checkered past sometimes, being a bit disruptive. And
yeah.
So and he's one of those players
Dutch,
who...
Basically.
Yeah, that's right. He's one of those players who, if it's not going to... He plays for himself.
Yeah.
And if it's not... And I know people say, yeah, but that's the type of player Spurs need, you know, a friend of mine was saying recently.
Really?
If it's not going right for him, he'll then start shooting from anywhere and trying to do it all himself.
As Ronaldo's been doing.
Yeah, and it'll piss his teammates off. And now I know it's going well, and I hope it continues, because it's absolutely brilliant to see that. And it's great to see Spurs having a genuine world-class player.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It really is, and I can't stress that enough. But just a little bit of word, a little bit of caution on there. I just think if it starts to go badly, he could be one of those ones. You saw him drifting all over the place, you know, and Redknapp had to change
the
formation.
He does do that.
You know...
I'm very, very surprised to hear that he didn't get on well with Ibrahimovic at Ajax. They apparently had an actual fight.
That's right.
And that's why Van der Vaart went to Hamburg.
Because that was an odd move even at the time, wasn't it? Because Van der Vaart was very, very highly rated.
He was,
He just went to Hamburg and became their main man.
It's funny that.
But
the thing is, that you're right, they need to, in a way, it creates another problem. Because we said when he signed, great player.
Yeah.
We all said that, but where's he going to play?
That's right.
And now Redknapp looks like he's going to have to commit. And the thing is, he has to, because Van der Vaart is rewarding him with performances.
That's right.
So Spurs are now going to have to build their team around him. Mm. And then where does that leave Modric and people like that? Mm. You know, it's
Modric will have to play deeper, and you'll have to take away forwards.
Or wide, let's play wide.
Yeah, well, and then you've got four decent forwards. Only one of them can play.
Mm.
So,
that's right, yeah.
But Van der Vaart hasn't made the England squad for obvious reasons. But Kevin Davis has at the age of 33.
Only marginally more likely than Van der Vaart, Kevin Davis.
I think Capello likes that type of player, doesn't he? He obviously likes Heskey and Zamora's injured. Kevin Davis is in.
He genuinely can't believe it, though.
No, yeah.
And God bless him for that.
He said he had more chance playing for Jamaica.
Did I read that he made the most chances out of any player in the Premier League last season?
Seriously?
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's just knockdown after knockdown, isn't it?
Up to Joe.
Because Heskey turned down a recall. Because apparently Capello was considering calling up Andy Carroll.
Oh, he's got a court case, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Do you reckon Kevin Davis went, all right, I'll do it, but did you ask Heskey first? Did you? Be honest. Yeah, I asked him first. Right. Mm,
I'm not doing it.
A bit annoyed with that then.
You forget Davis is 33.
Well, I never knew.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Jamesy.
I mean, these players, they come out of nowhere, you never heard of them.
So anyway, he's a prospect, Davis.
Yeah. He is indeed.
But Robert Green's been called up as well. Won't play, what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, you've got to have three keepers.
For what, for one game?
Yeah, that is the point. That is the sole point. You've got to have three keepers.
Not the pitch at same time.
Rio Ferdinand's back.
Yeah, good, because he's a calming influence. And whilst United haven't been sort of firing all cylinders, they're not really conceding at the moment.
Mm.
I actually thought the game against Valencia and Mestalla was a really good defensive performance, actually.
Mm.
And Ferdinand was a big part of that.
Had a fantastic win. Let's go to the Championship.
Hmm.
Neil Warnock murked his old team, Palace, 2-1. Palace equalised in the 89th, and then in the 93rd, QPR got the winner.
I can't believe, in the years we've been doing this show, we've never, to my knowledge, pointed out that Neil Warnock has got an abysmal nose.
No, we must have done.
It's worse than Steve Bruce's. I'm putting it out there.
Like, no, it's a different nose to Steve.
Yeah, it's
worse.
Very different kind.
Steve Bruce's is quite a short, fat nose, whereas Warnock's quite long and pointed.
Warnock's looks like a dinosaur's nose.
Well, his is more of...
Dinosaur's noses is just holes.
Speaking of which, I saw Jurassic Park recently.
Oh, yeah.
Jim
Warnock.
Neil Warnock's got a touch of the Jim Rosenthal's. Would you say?
Yeah,
it's quite satanic looking.
Yeah, Jim Rosenthal is the guy, the vampire off of the Count off Sesame Street. What do you think of Neil Warnock's nose?
I think it's more like putty. It's sort of you'd want to touch it if you had got close to it, I reckon.
Dowie's got a bad nose. It's just because it's surrounded by so much other weirdness. You don't sort of notice so much.
Yeah, it's
just because he's got like
powers into insignificance.
Yeah, he's got like muscles sticking out of his head. It's just like, has everyone else got those muscles? What is his face?
How do you work those out? Neil Warnock's nose. I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like a normal nose, but when you look in the back of a spoon.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
This is like the Neil Warnock nose roast. We sort of stand up and just tell Neil Warnock what we think of his nose.
Anyway, Kieran Cadogan came on for Palace and scored.
Yeah,
and he is a good player.
Thank you very much.
And as far as I can make out, he's got a perfectly normal nose.
Yeah. If you weren't here, that would have gone on for another 5 minutes.
Yeah,
wow. Let's talk about Portsmouth.
Okay,
very briefly. Good comeback.
I don't know what's happening to them.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
2-0 down at Middlesbrough. Mm. The Nuge.
Unbeaten in three.
Lawrence as well. We were singing his praises the other day.
Did you see that penalty? It's really odd. Pompey had a corner or a free kick, I forget.
It was a set piece.
Yeah, they're defending it. Mm. And they cleared it and they went to. No, sorry. We were attacking it, Portsmouth. They cleared it and went to counter attack. The camera went up the other end. They got into our half. And then the referee gave us a penalty. It must have been off the ball. No one saw it. I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet. Got on the Football League Show or anything like that, because obviously it was on telly. And and obviously Lawrence put it away. But 2-0 down away to Borough to get a result. That's great stuff.
You're going
to
be annoyed with your defender there. That's unbelievable.
Well, next week Portsmouth are at home to Leeds and away to QPR, so I mean, the wheels could still fall off.
There you go.
Again. Back on.
But you missed the six. The big six.
Do you know what? I was in a restaurant in Crete where I went on holiday and I was eating and I had some guy talking about football. I thought he sounded like he knows what he's talking about.
Did he sound like me?
Makes a change. and from being with you, not joke. And I asked him. I said to him, and he was from Sheffield United.
He was from Sheffield United. Yeah.
it was Gary Speak.
Born there.
I live at 3 Bramall Lane.
He's from Sheffield, and I started having a bit of banter with him about football.
Oh, you love a bit of banter, you don't you? Especially on the continent.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing it overseas.
Euro banter
in Lineker's bar.
I'd like to inform the listeners that I can perform overseas as well. I started talking to him about the Sheffield United game where Pompey battered United at Bramall Lane and United won 1-0, and he was giving me a load of stick. And then I saw him again the next day. I knew there'd been a game, and I said, "Mate, did you see the football results?" And he went, "Yeah, you'll be pleased. Pompey won 6-1 and I was like, "Oh, shut up, man, come on, give me the result." For ages I didn't believe it. It's only when I came home that I found out they scored 6. Great stuff. Cut that out.
But keep this in, because I'm about to say Sven's back. Svenigans.
Lock up your daughters.
Sven Goran Eriksson.
Wasn't he going to Qatar or
probably
like that?
Probably.
A couple of weeks ago. Where has he done that? Has he somehow managed to just get all the contract paid up to him and show up and get
Sven run
job?
To the sun, Goran Eriksson.
Is he going to run both the jobs and the same way that Del Boy used to do, going for the horses, where he has like two dates at the same time?
Yeah.
He goes to the toilet of one day, goes out the window, goes to the other day. That's what he's going to do.
Yeah. That was repeated
in Goodnight with Sweetheart through two time zones as well.
There's
the link.
Yeah, yeah. For those people who have never lived in Britain, they don't know what they were talking about.
You're really not missing a great deal on the references there.
But I tell you what, I do like Sven. I think we all do.
Well, the thing
he was very responsive to the journalists. Yeah, to the press, because he walked in the ground.
Well,
and they were like, "Oh, Sven, very happy to be here." Da, da, da. And he clearly needed to go in, but he kept turning around, going, "Oh yes," and answering questions. And then he turned to go, and the journalists would ask. And most managers would just bowl in, wouldn't give a damn. And every time the guy asked, Sven would stop, turn around and go back to him and answer it. Oh, little Sven.
He'll be sacked in 2 months, so he can go back to Qatar.
Well, these were not the foxes I was expecting.
Well, I did like what Milan Mandarić came out with. This was on the Thursday. He said, this is when Paulo Sousa was still in charge. He said, we can't, when people were talking about, is Sousa going to be for the sack at all? And he said, we can't turn around now and say Paulo needs to go. Now is the time for us to show how strong we are together, how united we are behind our manager, and give him a chance. It is a difficult time, but it is time to be united and not to listen to the speculation in the media. It's as simple as that. Following day, he got rid of him.
I wonder what happened in between.
Or maybe from that
he slept.
Maybe from that quote they've just cut out. But I'll sleep on it.
Well, he's like the dice man. He just rolls a dice.
What a brilliant way to manage a football team that would be.
Hey, you used to work at Leicester City. Is there a massive kind lucky eight ball that people make decisions?
You push it down. Yeah.
You know, when Mandarić was chairman of Portsmouth, he saved Pompey from oblivion, and everyone thanked him for it. It was a great thing he did. And then he went through 9 managers in 7 years. After about the 6th one, it was a bit like, I know you saved the club and we thank you for that. Can we just talk about this, because you're going through managers like Sven goes through women.
Allegedly.
So I fully expect Sven to probably be sacked by the end of the season. Knowing how much he loves the old money, I don't know how much he's getting paid. I'll be interested to see.
The Middle East is made for Sven, really.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He needs to take on like the Dubai team or something.
I even dreamed this. I'm pretty sure we even spoke about it on the show a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was in line to take over.
It would make sense, James. It would make perfect sense. We're going to go back to the South Coast very briefly.
Oi, oi.
Southampton 2, Bournemouth 0. It was the first South Coast derby between these two teams in the league for 50 years.
Mm. Ooh, we live by the sea so we can have amusements, but no one else can.
Why is that? We're still recording. Ricky Lambert got both goals there. Good to see a South Coast derby not involving Portsmouth.
Well, I don't actually agree with that.
No,
it's not what you looked at me then.
Ricky Lambert loves a goal, doesn't he?
He does.
Bastard for
he
a
can't
goal.
Can't stop scoring.
Don't stop him unless you.
Well, people are trying, but they can't.
Exactly.
They're not trying hard enough.
Concentrate your efforts elsewhere. League Two. There was a couple of brilliant results. Mm. Accrington Stanley 7, Gillingham 4. It has to get a mention.
That's so good,
the other thing that's worth mentioning is the Chesterfield Crewe game, which is 5-5.
Yes. I've never heard
who's
of a 5-5.
Who scored for Crewe? Moore and Donaldson.
Oh, hey, nice.
Hell yeah.
Which Donaldson was that then?
You, mate.
Donaldson.
Yeah. Do you not remember it? It was only on the weekend. Yeah. And Bell scored also for Crewe. Campbell.
Nearly.
Half there. Marvellous results in League Two. A 7-4 and a 5-5. Well done to Accrington Stanley, Gillingham, Chesterfield and crew for their participation in those matches.
And that was like you were reading the results then. I think you'd be good at that, actually. Yeah. Well, have a go. Just make up some results.
This is a shop window. Goals. Luke Moore 1, Pete Donaldson 2.
That's good. Mm. Apart from my loss at home.
Yes, of course. Right, it's foreign time.
Good.
Yeah?
I went to Crete.
Well... Did you make any notes?
Dang, there's not much by way of football there. I didn't see a single football pitch.
Well, I'll take that as a no then. Roy Keane wouldn't have been happy.
No, he's never going to be happy. A moot point.
Speaking of Roy Keane at Ipswich,
dog died.
Ipswich got a striker called.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Triggs died.
I can't believe that didn't make the international news.
Well, the old Deli Murray, you get over there, it's a bit weird.
It's a week late, it costs about £2.50.
Yeah. But worth every letter.
I just want to make a note to any proper football journalists that are listening, probably none, but I'll be out there just in case. There's a player who plays for Ipswich called Tommy Smith. He's a striker, he's from New Zealand. There's also a player who used to play for Ponby, who plays for QPR now as a striker, called Tommy Smith. They're not the same person. So stop saying Tommy Smith scored for Ipswich. And put in a picture of QPR's Tommy Smith, because one's 10 years older than the other and they're different, they're not even the same country.
Is this the Tommy Smith? One of them used to play for Watford.
Yeah,
I know that Tommy Smith.
Yeah, one's, he's 30.
He's not a Kiwi,
Tommy Smith.
No.
Without a Y.
Exactly. It just seems to happen so often. I don't know if they even realise there's two of them.
And the Luke Moore, who used to play for Aston Villa,
it's not me,
he's not him.
No.
As people so often
do. Right, let's go to Primera Liga. Mm. Bit of Spain, eh?
Did a little head wobble there. That's fancy.
Thanks, mate.
Keep that.
La Liga.
Barcelona drew at home to Laudrup's Mallorca.
I only saw the first half of that game, but they absolutely battered them. They had 90% possession at one point.
Only one point.
I know, it's incredible.
Messi scored a great goal.
He did, yeah.
Really, don't like him.
They're missing. They aren't, I know you talk about possession and stuff, but they're missing Xavi.
Mm. Oh, of course they do.
Massively missing. He's got the same, a similar problem that Owen Hargreaves has got. He's got in tendonitis.
Oh dear.
Hargreaves is specifically of the kneecap.
Mm. But Hargreaves has been out for much.
Well, exactly. I'm just saying. I hope Xavi isn't the same. But he's been given a rest. I think that what they're saying is, because he's been given the internationals off as well, I think they're saying he's played uninterrupted almost three years.
Yeah,
now,
it's ridiculous. Given that they've won two major tournaments and he's won the Champions League and got to the semi as well, that is it's as much as you can play.
And pretty much being the main man.
Yeah. And obviously they won the.
Do you reckon
cup
his mates bring him up? Do you want to kick her out? Oh,
God, I don't even want to stand up.
No, I don't want to play FIFA. You know?
Real Madrid beat Deportivo La Coruña 6-1. Jose said that some team's going to pay for all this misfiring and blood.
I love it when you can see that brewing in a team. Someone's getting a hiding soon.
I reckon he popped into the La Coruña dressing room beforehand and went, you're going to get this, and they all probably crapped themselves and thought, yes, we are.
Well, Coruña have actually got quite a good defensive record.
Do you know what? I remember when they were a fantastic side and playing in Champions League.
With Tristan.
Yeah. All them.
Remember when they, I think there was something like 3 or 4-0 down against Milan?
Yeah.
From
4-1, I think, from the first leg.
Yeah.
And then they beat them 4-0 at home in Spain.
Get on that.
It was incredible. Climb aboard it.
Indeed.
You know, it was absolutely incredible. Mourinho has been talking with Laurent Blanc, apparently, about
Larry White, use his proper name.
Okay. about Karim Benzema and his work rate and his attitude, because Mourinho thinks he should play with more ambition.
You almost forget he's there.
Well, that's right. I mean, Blanc was saying that
Alan Shearer. Don't know nothing about him.
Blanc was saying that that he says that some players, he thinks that they are surprised when they realise that their natural qualities aren't enough and they have to work tactically and collectively and more on their work rate. Mm. And he thinks that's what's happening to Benzema. Because he's a fantastic player, but yeah, it's funny, isn't it? He's not really firing.
That's how I reply when you shout at me, Marcus, on the football field.
Your natural talent isn't enough. Screw you, Marcus.
Yeah. You are very vocal on the football pitch. You would think it would be Luke dishing out the orders.
I am
in
as well.
Our team. Yeah, but well, he's a monster, though, isn't he?
I'm sure you'll all.
Marcus can back up his words with action.
Oh, here we go. Oh.
Talent. Thanks, Petey.
I will say, I'll caveat my mouthiness by saying I only ever mouth off when the ball's in my own heart. I'm not like going, Marcus, shoot better.
I just
I'd appreciate that kind of advice, though.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just tend to pant.
Oh. That's good. We're now at the Serie A section of the show. Mm-hmm. But before we move on, Luke had a birthday recently, didn't you, Lukey?
Yeah, I did. I thought you'd forgotten about that.
No. Happy birthday. We've got you a little something.
Have you really?
Yeah. I
genuinely had no idea.
One chippy totter already wears this shirt. And now there's going to be two, eh?
What's all this?
Look at that.
It's a Milan shirt. I thought I'd have a nail on the back, but
we were planning on getting.
I wasn't going to get Ibra on
the
back.
We were going to get Ibra.
Thank you very much. It's
but
very
then
kind
you
of
said,
you. Thank you. Thanks very much.
The proper one. Look, it's got the Adidas.
I'm genuinely
thing.
Touched by that. It's an extra large. Good, so it'll fit. Thank you very much. I feel like I should put it on now.
Well,
put it on.
We're about to talk about Milan.
Well, crack on with Milan. I'll just put this on.
Milan were away to Parma. Hurry up. And they won 1-0. And the goal was one of the goals of the weekend. There were a lot of good goals in the weekend. There, he, look at that.
Looking good.
It's good.
It's a nice shirt, isn't it?
Isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah. It's a classic, isn't it?
Very nice, yeah. Thank you very much. Genuinely, I really appreciate it.
Thank you. We're having a moment on the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Cut this out. But,
yeah. Did you saw Pirlo's goal, Luke?
Oh, my goal of the season so far.
It didn't seem to be travelling that quick. It seemed to float into the net. It was
he
wonderful.
Hit it. You could have had like a conversation about it before he hit the net. He's hit that one, and it's going. It's in.
This is my goal of the season so far.
Right,
without a doubt.
I tell you what was a great goal. Was if we just briefly cut away from Italian football, was Wagner Love scored an absolute beauty in the Russian league on the weekend. Yeah. But back to Pirlo.
Maybe we'll ramble tube that.
Yeah, maybe we will. Pirlo, great goal. Crespo up front for Parma.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw that. He had a bit of a torrid time actually.
He did.
He's played for most Italian clubs.
He's played across two.
Well, don't forget he had some of his best years at Parma the first time around. Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, though. I mean, he didn't really do much for Parma. But Crespo kind of... He's 35 now, I think. He kind of looked a little bit older, you know. Not face, he's a handsome
was
man.
Appalling.
But in my head, Crespo's still on loan from Chelsea.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is, though, that it's actually testament to Inzaghi. Because when he comes on and plays for Milan, I totally forget he's 35 as well.
Yeah. That goal he scored as well the other month.
Which one was that?
Was it Barcelona
against
Barcelona?
Yeah, but that was of course a pre-season.
Yeah, but that was another one that he just seemed to stroke in.
Yeah,
you know, he didn't try and kick the laces.
Very
out.
Leisurely team.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean,
speaking of which, Robinho.
Oh my goodness,
he had a. I don't know what's happened to him. To be honest,
Zlatan should have scored.
Yeah, he should have. Yeah.
I do love watching that Milan side play because when they've got the ball, they just some of the flicks and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just great. It really is. The Derby of Italy happened on the weekend. The big game of the weekend, Inter versus Juventus.
Says, wasn't it?
It was 0-0. First time in 11 and a half years, according to the commentator.
Wow.
And so the reading of the table. We said last week that the Serie A was tight. Obviously. 1 week later, it still is going to be tight, no matter what the results are. But Lazio are top after six matches on 13. But it's still only 9 points separate top to bottom. Mm. But Roma are struggling in 19th. They've had a very bad start.
Early days.
Ranieri got a bit leery a little while ago, didn't he?
He always does.
Did that
rhyme?
That
sounded like it rhymes.
I say he always Ranieri does. Larry. That's nonsense. He doesn't often.
No, he doesn't. No, it's sort of a strange. He's like a sort of comedy next door neighbour from an Italian sitcom, in my mind.
Yeah, he is. He's exactly like that. Yeah,
but he is sort of just like. He's really, really lost it, didn't he? He said, "This team has got balls. We will show you." And
do you think him and Sven would get on?
Yeah, I think they would. He's very avuncular.
I think that Ranieri looks like a stereotypical older Italian man, the same way Ramon Domenech looks like a stereotypical friend. They're almost like two peas in the same pod, just having to be born in a different country.
It's like his teeth. They're just very sharp at the corners.
Maybe that's helped him.
Opening cans with them. Ranieri wants some beans.
I think that's helping.
Would he refer to himself in the third person, or are you speaking on behalf of him?
Yeah. No, I imagine he does it in front of a mirror.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd watch that.
Yeah. So you're suggesting that he's mental.
Yeah.
Fiend Ranieri.
Said the Sun.
cool beans. Let's go to Germany. Mainz have equaled a record-breaking 7 wins on the go.
The top.
Yep, that includes away wins at Bayern and Bremen. Bayern was away to Bremen.
They were only promoted like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
Bayern have had a poor start.
They've had a very poor start, and as of a result, I don't think that their players are allowed to go to Oktoberfest.
Well, I shouldn't be going anywhere.
That's like Rio Carnival. Yeah,
we're going to Oktoberfest. Well, we've got a game. No, we go every year. We're going.
No, they'll be drunk as well. It's fine.
Exactly.
You've got a game in the morning.
A friend of mine lives in Germany, and his younger brother, actually, it was one of the guys I was in Crete with. His younger brother, they went to Oktoberfest, and he was walking. This is an awful story.
Your old travels with Luke Moore.
He was walking along, and he had a glass bottle of Coke in his hand, Coca-Cola. And
nobody thought it was cocaine.
Well, okay, fine. Let's look at that. And he fell over, and the glass smashed, and it cut his hand like to ribbons, basically.
Oktoberfest.
maybe that's why Bayern Munich can't go, because of injuries. Bizarre story.
Yeah,
it's true.
Get that Milan shirt off. You're overheating.
I think I am, actually.
I think the red and the black complements the blonde. I have to
Thank
say.
Thank you very much.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, cheers, I'll have some of that.
Yeah. That means you'll definitely play like him, too.
Yeah. He'll play like me.
Probably. Borussia Dortmund beat Bayern Munich.
Just get on with it and talk about the St. Pauli hot dog train. It's what we're all waiting for.
St. Pauli. They're into the top half of the table. They're ninth. They won away to Hanover.
And how are they celebrating?
That piece of paper.
Yeah.
St. Pauli have installed a model railway to serve supporters in their VIP section with freshly cooked sausages throughout the
That'll
game.
That'll be a good sausage as well in Germany.
Jim, I know what you were thinking. I don't think I could love St. Pauli any more than I would.
Yeah. And here we are.
I've proven you wrong, haven't I?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even the term sausage train had never entered my mind before. But it's staying.
I think I've seen that video.
Let me say though that it doesn't just stop there. The train runs every 5 minutes direct from the club kitchen to the VIP section. There's individual beer pumps for each seat and built-in flat screen TVs for action replays. Now, a little word of caution, that seems all a bit big time for St. Pauli, isn't it?
I think it opens the door for somebody putting like a firework on it and sending it to the away fans. That's all I worry about.
The train's only for the VIP. It doesn't go all around the stands, man. You know, by the time it gets to the VIP,
it's a train. It's a sausage train.
Yeah, there's no rules.
There's no rules to the sausage train.
No, but there is a track.
Oi, get your ticket and shut up.
All aboard.
Yeah.
Is there a dining car? The whole train is a dining car, sir.
No, instead of having like a buffet car, they've got one car that isn't a buffet. It's like the opposite.
Can I have a beer? There's beer in your chair. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a smoking section? Yes, there are smoked sausages available, sir.
Yeah. It's almost like they're expecting a state visit from Paul Gascoigne or something. What will he want? Sausage train, beer in his seat, telly.
Yeah, because he's born. Right, I think that's the Euro Fest over. We're breaking out of Europe, gentlemen.
Can we go to Oktoberfest next year to watch St. Pauli and go to Oktoberfest?
Well, before I think of an answer for that, I think Luke's got an email.
Ooh.
Hello, yes, I'm back this week, and I've been
given... In case you wondered who it was.
And I've been given an email to read. Do you remember, chaps, a couple of weeks ago, it must have been at least 2 weeks ago, because I was on the show when it happened, and we were talking about football chants, and it was, Peter Reid's got a effing monkey's heed, and then the second verse was... Jim?
Peter Reid eats bananas with his feet.
And we thought it stopped there.
Yeah. We were naive.
But it doesn't, because Kevin O'Malley has emailed in to say... He says, you mentioned how much you enjoyed the second verse of the Peter Reid song in the show. He eats bananas with his feet. For my money, however, the third verse tops that. It is, Peter Reid's got a tyre for a seat.
Brilliant.
I genuinely didn't know that. I just did.
Because he looks like a monkey.
Excuse me.
Apparently they sing one about Tony Mowbray in Scotland, a sort of similar kind of thing.
But I don't know the lyrics.
So. St. Pauli's got an effing sausage train.
Yeah.
Beer in your seat. Anything you can imagine.
Easy peasy.
If you know the Tony Romo one, email it in because I'd like to hear it. Absolutely. But the Peter Reid chant is officially my favourite chant of all time. So I'll be interested to see if anything could top it.
Yeah. Sorry, what? MLS, did you say? Yeah. apparently, D-Beck. Not apparently, he did. D-Beck. He got a lovely free kick.
I saw it. It was a nice one.
Yeah, he got the winner for Galaxy. They beat Chivas.
It's a derby, that. Chivas play in the same ground as Galaxy as well.
Yeah. Home key rivalry, isn't it? Because it's the Mexican contingent, I believe.
That's right. That's
I was a bit annoyed that he didn't put it right in the corner. It was, and the keeper got a hand to it.
He's done enough.
Did he get the
winner?
He's done enough.
Did he get the winner?
He's done. Did he get the winner?
He did get the winner.
He wants a moon on a stick. He's had about a hot dog train. Now he thinks he deserves everything.
He wants a moon train. Fill in the blanks there.
You wouldn't.
I would. I'm going to. Yeah. Last week we spoke about Uncle Jack.
Oh, here
Jack
we go.
Warner.
Was it Jack? He's Uncle Jack now, is he?
You called him Uncle Jack on the video, Jovo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Memory.
he's a bad uncle. Let's make that clear.
Yeah. He's a shocking uncle. This was in the Observer from the Said and Done section. It just listed a few things that has been surrounding his name of late, and I thought this has to be brought to the Ramble table.
Yeah.
So the little article said $81 million. These were the public funds allocated to stadium refurbishment in Jack Warner's Trinidad for last month's FIFA Under-17 Women's World Cup. $81 million. An inquiry has now been launched to determine where the $81 million went.
It's been siphoned out of the country and sausage train sales have gone up massively.
Yeah. Apparently Minister Anil Roberts said it would be forensic. We will have a report which shows the money was misappropriated.
Probably want to appropriate. Do some financial checks, I would think.
Well, the thing
I'm not sure forensics are going to help in this situation.
The problem with this is, like, you always hear about this from people. I'm not suggesting anyone's stolen anything at all, but what if you are, say for example, you were going to steal an amount of money, don't steal all of it. Just take like $2 million.
Yeah.
No one will know, and take $2 million again next year.
I'll do it like a penny from each bank account, like Superman.
Well, exactly, like the guy who
Superman.
In one of the Superman films, they steal like a penny out of everybody's bank account, and they make a lot of money.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like in the film Office Space as well.
Yeah, that's which also refers back film. To Superman.
Really?
People get greedy because can you remember when that guy?
I love it. You get annoyed when people steal and do things badly, like the time when who was
do
it?
Do it right.
When it was in Ghana when there was match fixing and they won 36-0, and you were going mental. Do it so it's 2-0. You'll get away with it. It's not advocating cheating. And stealing.
When that guy was coughing, who wants to be a millionaire?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he cheated to get £1 million.
Jerk.
Just get £500,000. No one will say anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Or in Jack Warner's case, allegedly, just be happy with your already exorbitant wages.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people get greedy.
Agree.
They get greedy.
Agreed.
Is that a pun or just a happy accident?
Agreed. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. No. I very rarely plan what I say, James.
The organisation that Jack works for, FIFA.
It sort of works for him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You don't really work for it.
Very true. They've donated £16,000 to the former Togo goalkeeper, Kojovi Obilale, who was...
Oh, I've heard about this.
He was left unable to walk, of course, after being shot at the African Cup of Nations in January.
Yeah,
terrible
I remember
stuff.
That. Yeah.
A tragic story. And Sepp Blatter and FIFA gave him $16,000.
Doesn't he owe like a ridiculous...
He owes $100,000 in medical
bills.
That's
outrageous.
And Sepp said, I wish you a lot of courage.
he might as well have just said, well, I didn't shoot him.
Yeah,
exactly.
Pretty much. $170,000 was the amount of bonuses paid by Sepp to all 208 FIFA associations in June ahead of next year's FIFA elections.
Now, surely FIFA's job in the African nations is to keep them safe. Surely
to look after the footballing
community. Well, do you remember they tried to ban him for pulling out as well, Togo, when that happened?
Well, they did ban them.
Yeah, but it got overturned.
Was that, I don't think that was FIFA, was it?
Yeah, it was, well, it was
I think that was the African
body.
The CAA. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, right.
And they should never have been driving through there anyway, but that isn't the point. You know, what happened happened. And that guy, you can't.
The fact of the matter is,
leave him with that much debt.
No. Exactly, exactly. And it's not as if a FIFA, the big wealthy beast, can't afford to. Sepp could do it himself in loose change that's on him.
Imagine if it was a bigger, with all respect to the team, a bigger football.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And imagine how covered to the hilt they would be insurance wise.
Well, the other thing is that a player that was a lot bigger would be a lot more wealthy as well, though, remember?
True, but I understand what you're saying.
They'd get a hell of a lot more money. Like, if it was Adebayor or something, they'd be in the millions. They'd get in compensation. Manchester City would get money, everyone would get.
Yeah, of course.
That said, down column in the reserve is great. It's done by David Hill, isn't it? It's really, really
absolutely
interesting.
Super. Right, let's go to South America, Brazil in particular. There's been elections in Brazil. Why are we talking about that? I hear you cry. Well,
why are we talking about that?
Romário and Bebeto have entered the world of politics.
What, as a doubler? I don't like each other, do they?
Well, Romário has been elected. We talked about this on A Ramble Extra a number of months ago, I'm pretty sure. Romário has been elected federal deputy for Rio de Janeiro, and Bebeto was elected state deputy for Rio de Janeiro, for the state of Rio.
You've got to count the votes. Surely he's doing what he's done with his goal.
Yeah,
you know, it would a little suspect. Yeah.
Romário ran on a socialist party ticket in the southeastern Rio de Janeiro state, and his party is allied with the president's workers' party. But Romário's got no political experience, but he has promised to score a new goal Brazil.
No. People of Rio, you are now going to be faced with the next 3 years of terrible football puns for the rest of his tenure, because he's just going to compare everything to being a footballer. I mean, like Arnold Schwarzenegger just refers, as California state governor, just refers to Terminator every single speech.
You are the real Terminator.
Yeah. I'm going to turn the dirt into lead, molten lead, at the end of Terminator 2 when I fall in it. Oh.
He had that amazing quote, didn't he, when he was talking about, I think it was his critics of one of his policies, and he says, "I say to you, if you think this, I call you girly men."
Yeah.
I know that's basically McBain, but
two things he actually said as well, definitely said this because I've bloody well saw it. One was, he said before the election to re-elect him, "I'll be back," and then when he did win again, he said, "I love doing sequels."
He did
and then he just shouted Terminator 2.
Well,
is what I meant by that.
Red Heat.
Also,
how it is filling
up. Kindergarten Cop.
Excuse me, Mr. Schwarzenegger, you appear to have a terrible human rights record, and your political career has gone awry so far. Total Recall? No, it's not going to wash anymore, just saying films you were in.
Excuse my friend, he's dead tired.
That doesn't even make sense in this context.
Eraser.
No.
Eraser, who remembers that film?
It's a good one, it was with the lasers and all. One of his best ones, that.
Bad Man and Robin. I didn't even like that one. Pick one that was decent.
You've not let me finish talking about the Brazilian election.
Well, we haven't said Commando yet.
Just Bodies.
Now you can carry on.
Last Action Hero, but Romário and Bebeto, it's Boris Johnson all over again, really. I mean, we can sort of stand in our London constituencies and sort of.
You haven't heard. Because a Brazilian clown has won a seat in Congress.
Yeah, as we know. Romário.
No.
Are they just giving them out to anyone?
A genuine clown. First come, first serve.
Yeah.
He was on the night, so
an
he just
odd,
turned up.
Odd electoral system, that is.
Tiririca is his clowny name, or Grumpy. He had.
Why do you don't elect him?
Yeah.
Get happy.
Jim, I don't think they're
measured, reasonable.
They have a selection of clowns to pick from, but they just one of them turned up.
Seven Wolves turn up.
Yeah.
You're going to love this. He had slogans such as, "It can't get any worse."
So elect a clown.
It has.
And also, "What does a federal deputy do? Truly, I don't know, but vote for me and I will find out for you."
That's brilliant.
Again, similar to Boris Johnson.
I do cover a town where he did elect Hartlepool United's football mascot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hangus the Monkey. Boris Johnson piped up the other day saying that he doesn't.
Muffins.
He doesn't think that any election where the turnout was less than 50% should count. London, 45%. Do your research. You've got a team.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And we shall finish the main section of the show. Do you remember Larissa Riquelme?
Of course we do.
come on.
Paraguayan model.
Hates bras.
Yeah. Well, I've got an update. She has a new role in Mexican TV, which in a programme called The Triumph of Love. With veteran Mexico midfielder Blanco.
Great. What, you tell me.
I wanted to save it for you.
Blanco is going to play a fireman with Raquel May as his lover.
Oh, he's having that. He's having that all day.
Delighted.
Yeah. And did he do the bunny hop thing with her breast?
No, a mobile phone flicks into her cleavage.
Yeah. That's the payoff every week.
And the every week is like a mobile phone somehow finds her way into her top.
Producer Salvador Mejia said, honestly, I don't know what
a producer does. But I will find out for you.
Vote for me and I'll find out.
He says, honestly, I don't expect them to be able to act. They're just the cherries on my cake.
Wow. Does he mean her?
Yeah.
You know what we meant.
Yeah. I saw that because when you've written here Larissa Raquel May update, I thought it was that she'd been in Playboy. I'd already seen that.
I think it was linked to on the Ramble Forum.
Was it? Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Ramble Forum, Pete. Mm.
I only saw it because
it's
it was
a huge
next
array
to the
of tits on there, including us,
especially us,
almost exclusively us, in fact.
Pete, you've got an email.
I've got an email. It's a long one, so hang tight. This is from Darren Pitt in Adelaide, South Australia.
That's
G'day.
What that is.
Oh, yeah.
On a previous ramble, you spoke about Ronaldo asking for exorbitant match fees to turn up for Melbourne Heart in the A-League. I'm a season ticket holder at Adelaide United, current A-League leaders. And the guest appearance of the Ronaldo type aren't that unusual over here. With a very American pay structure, we have a salary cap, with each club allowed one marquee player who's allowed to earn in excess of that. This is how Robbie Fowler's going to be here, John Aloisi and Michael Bridges.
Bridges, excellent.
Each club is also allowed to sign a player for guest appearances, though. And in 2006, Adelaide signed the one and only Romario.
Relevant.
Aforementioned. Yeah. Yeah. The city went mental. Posters of Romario filled billboards everywhere. Games at Adelaide's Hindmarsh Stadium began with Brazilian dances every week. Shirts with Romario on the back sold like hot cakes. The rumour is that he was paid £250,000 for a four-game stint. More than the rest of the squad added together, and was given the complimentary use of a luxury beachfront apartment for the duration of his stay. Wow.
It's not a bad gig, is it?
Now, whilst the numbers don't really add up, there was much talk that Romario only needed 3 goals to reach the 1,000 career goal milestone, and that here in Adelaide against average defenders, he would easily achieve it. So much more disappointing was it that when what we got was virtually an immobile middle-aged man who walked around the pitch and shouted and pointed a lot. He on one occasion berated a teammate who had the audacity to put the ball perhaps a metre in front of Romario for him to run onto. Romario, it seems, does not run. He did score, though, one goal in his last of the four games. Our then tricky winger Jason Spaniolo ran from the halfway line, rode a challenge, skipped in the area and shot low and hard. The ball bounced up and hit Romario in the stomach and bounced over the line.
He's playing with that.
That's mental.
That's a hat trick as well.
I was going to say.
Romario fell in the goal mouth to score, but was up like a spring lamb and sprinted over the Adelaide faithful to celebrate wildly the return on our $250,000 investment. Oh. It was the first time any of us had seen him run in a month. Keep up the great work. Love the show. Darren Pitt in Adelaide, South Australia.
So strange. I quite like the A-League from what I've seen. Like, they don't seem to get massive attendances, but they do. It just seems really passionate and really fun.
It's quite in your face, yeah. From what I've seen. There's a lot of hard tackling and stuff. Oh dear.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time, and you know the gifts are—they're not stopping here, Luke.
What, for my birthday?
For your birthday, because there's a little treat. Well, not a treat. This man deserves to go in here because he's.
Is it me?
It's him. No, you missed the word deserves. Robert Prozinecki.
Oh, Bobby P. Oh. I had a feeling that would be coming.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, clever.
And Darren Peacock's not even in there.
No.
Unbelievable.
No. Never will.
John Jensen's not in there.
Is that Chippy West Ham fan on the forum still piping up about how we haven't put Bobby Moore in there yet?
Right.
Drogba.
Yeah.
Robert Prozinecki, he was born on the 12th of January 1969.
About 18 months after the Summer of Love.
Yeah, thank you. These two didn't get it once when you were away. I had to fill in.
It's not our thing, is it?
No.
It's not our bag.
You've got
to be honest, I'm a bit annoyed that I attempted it.
We didn't.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I covered for you.
Good.
All right.
Thanks.
As any good captain would. Right, well...
standing captain. assistant to the captain.
Romario Bebeto over there.
Yeah.
Know which one I am. He started life as a boy, and he grew into quite some player.
Textbook.
Little known fact about Robert Prosinecki, actually.
You're not going to give it all away before I start?
I'm not. I'm sure there's loads more that I know, but he was actually born in Germany.
He wasn't born
in Yugoslavia, yeah. So he started off in Germany.
So he could have played for Croatia, Yugoslavia and Germany if he wanted to.
Well, technically speaking. I didn't know many people knew that, but... Yeah.
Well done.
You obviously weren't going to say it, so I thought I'd point it out.
Well, I didn't think I'd need to, because everyone knows it. he started off at Dynamo Zagreb, didn't play too many games there, and then he moved on to Red Star Belgrade, who were a massive side at the time in
Europe. Won the European Cup.
Because Europe was a much more balanced place, should I say, in regards to football.
Yeah.
But he came to the world's attention, really, as in the World Youth Championship, when he was named player of the tournament as an 18-year-old.
They had a brilliant team.
Well...
Absolutely sensational side.
Let me back that up for you, because he was a part of a famous...
Let me see who I can get.
Go on.
Boban.
Yes.
Suker.
Yep.
Stimac.
Yeah, possibly. I think Stimac was it. Mijatovic.
Mijatovic, yeah, exactly. There's loads of good players in there. Players who went on to really achieve as well. Mm.
Yeah, very much so. That was a genuinely brilliant youth team.
That's the spine of the Croatia team.
That's
right.
A
lot later on.
It was indeed, because Mijatovic went to play for Yugoslavia stayed playing for Yugoslavia when they split.
And he was a good player for Real Madrid as well.
He was.
Mijatovic. Loved a dive. Love to die, I'll tell you.
Prosinecki was awarded the Golden Ball as the best player at this tournament, and he created many of Yugoslavia's 17 goals in their 6 matches.
You know. It's not bad, is it? Not bad, this Bob.
Before the World Cup of 1990, he was already marked as one to watch. And he caught the eye. This was, of course, at the FIFA Under 20 World Cup. He had a pretty good tournament in Germany. He came on for Dejan Savicevic against West Germany. Remember Savicevic?
Yeah, Savicevic. Yeah.
Milan.
Yeah. Savicevic, it was pronounced as quite a lot.
Yeah.
I seem to remember.
Savicevic.
Savicevic, commentators would say.
Yeah. Like, is it Savicevic or Savicevic? Yeah, it's all right. A rose boy, another name was spelled as Sweet James.
He did, yeah. He did score in the 4-1 victory against the United Arab Emirates. Incidentally, United Arab Emirates, every goal scorer got a Rolls Royce at that World Cup.
One.
Wow.
Was it 4-1?
I think they got two or three goals. Hopefully it was the same guy.
So if you scored an own goal, did you get yourself a
I don't think
car?
They thought about that.
They took one away.
It's a big risk. They took your car away. Yeah.
Oh dear.
But he played in the quarter final against Argentina. Do you remember? It was 0-0 and a very odd penalty shootout where Maradona missed.
Did he hit the post, Maradona?
He did. No, Maradona never hit the post. Prosinecki hit the post in normal time. He scored his penalty though. So that was World Cup 90, so a good tournament Yugoslavia had, and unfortunate to go out to Argentina in the quarterfinals. The following year, he was involved in another penalty shootout. This is when Red Star Belgrade beat Marseille to win the European Cup in one of the most one-sided finals you'll ever see.
They basically didn't bother playing.
Yeah, well, they played for penalties.
Red Star, turned up, played for penalties. 120 minutes, kept them out and won on penalties.
Unbelievable.
Executed the game plan, James. Waddle was playing for Marseille.
He was, absolutely.
And Marseille were one of the best sides in Europe at the time.
Yeah.
So it was an incredible win. And then after...
Well, Marseille, around that sort of time, might be a bit before that, had Enzo Francescoli, who was apparently one of the biggest influences on Zidane.
Mm. That's right, he was, yeah.
Didn't he named his son after him.
That's right, yeah.
Very, very correct, James. Mm. He went to Real Madrid, Robert Prosinecki, should I say, for a few years, and I remember a fine free kick he scored against Barcelona.
He played against Barca. I don't know if this is the same game, but Madrid beat Barcelona at the Bernabeu 2-1, and Prosinecki absolutely run the show.
Yeah,
it was Barcelona just tried to kick the crap out of him all game.
Yeah,
and
well, I think we should say what type of player Prosinecki is actually.
Well, at this point for Real, he was running number 10, and he was all over the place.
That's what he was, a number 10, really.
Absolutely superb
playmaker.
Yeah.
I loved his skills.
Yeah. Then we all did, Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a superb player. And he did it for the top boys in Europe. I think it's
Well, he did. He went to Oviedo. But then he went to Barcelona after that.
He did go to Barca. One of only a few good men.
Who he played right in thinking Real he's the only player to score a hat trick for both.
He definitely possesses a fact like that. He's definitely done something for both that no one else has done.
He played in World Cups with both Yugoslavia and Croatia.
He scored goals for two different international teams, and there's definitely a El Clasico. I should have checked that. It's annoying. Sorry about that. I don't know. But he had an absolute bastard of a free kick on him.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, he then, as you said, Pete, he went to play when Croatia broke away from Yugoslavia. The former Yugoslavia, should I say now. At Euro 96. Had a decent showing there. Got to the quarterfinals. But then 2 years later, in France 98, that's when Croatia really put themselves on the world map.
Came third. He scored a few goals, I think.
He scored a couple of goals, yeah. He was 29, I think, in that tournament. So in his peak.
He's not reached his peak just yet.
Well, okay. We're coming on to
two or three years after that is when he really is.
Hold your horses. You'll have your moment.
What an unbelievable end to that man's career.
You'll have your moment, right? He scored two goals. He scored against Jamaica and the Netherlands in the third place playoff. And they finished third. Absolutely superb. And him and his teammate, that's right, Robert Jarni. Robert Jarni was a decent player as well. They represented Yugoslavia and Croatia. And there's only a couple of other people, a few other men who have turned up for two different teams at World Cups. Luis Monti, Argentina and Italy. Puskás, Hungary and Spain. José Santamaría, Uruguay and Spain.
Puskás playing for Spain is just so weird, isn't it? Yeah. Think about it.
Altafini, Brazil and Italy. Brazil and Italy? It's a funny one, isn't it? And then, of course, those guys. He did play at the 2002 World Cup, but he only played 45 minutes, I think. But his international record is 40.
He's playing for Pompey, then.
Well, you've let the cat out of the bag. As if nobody knew. He had 49 caps for Croatia and scored 10 goals and 15 caps for Yugoslavia and scored 4 goals.
Oh, it's interesting that all those players have done that as well.
The only player, as you say, in history to score for two different national teams.
In World Cups, that is.
I think someone said, summed his performances for Croatia up quite nicely when they said, much of what Croatia achieved starts from the boots of Robert Prozinecki.
I'm going to adapt that slightly for Pompey in a minute.
Okay. But he is regarded by many as the player with the best technique that has ever played for Croatia.
I saw Gascoigne play in a testimonial, it doesn't really count, but Prozinecki would be definitely.
I'm saying for Croatia.
Oh, no, I know that, but I'm saying that with my own eyes, he's the best player I've seen play for my team, without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, because
he didn't disappear.
He lost interest towards the end.
In 2001,
I didn't see much of him at Portsmouth.
Let's have a bit of context here. In 2001, he joined Portsmouth. Yes, a man with such a glittering career who's played for Real Madrid and Barcelona.
It was like our millennium bug. Something's gone wrong a year later.
But it's worth pointing out that actually Portsmouth since then have won the FA Cup and they've performed okay in the Premier League and they've had some good players come through their team. You've got to put it into perspective that in 2001 we're basically shit. They're one of the worst teams in the second tier. And it was only through a network of contacts and through friendships with Milan Mandrić, the chairman, that he ever entertained the idea of playing for Pompey. And Mandrić at the time came out and said, this is a gift to the fans, and it really was.
Talk about him in such your a glowing way.
Well, three generations of my family all agree he's the best player to ever play for Portsmouth.
That's the general consensus as well, isn't it? Very much so amongst Pompey.
I've not heard anyone else say different. I mean, my granddad, my uncle, and myself.
Carnu.
Well, we've had some good players over the years, Mark. I don't want to bore you all with that, but
the news.
The
news.
Yeah, he's absolutely. Right. He's got time on his side. But if you think at that season, that it was 2001-2002 under Ricks initially. Portsmouth had Prozinecki and Crouch, really. I mean, Crouch was good then. That was when he was at Pompey the first time. And I think Prozinecki got 9 or 10 goals that season, but he must have put on double that for the other team. I mean, there was one game, I remember, I think it was against Grimsby, where he set up every single goal. We won like 4-2 or something. He set up every goal. And it was almost like, right, I feel like I'm going to just set up some goals now. And just set him up.
There was a great hat trick against Barnsley.
Well, we were 4 up and we drew 4 all.
Was that right?
Yeah, and he stormed out.
Seriously, YouTube him because it is ridiculous. It's laughable. When he gets the ball and he just goes off on one, it's almost like, why is he amongst them?
One thing that sums up for me is when I think he stuck a great goal against Wolves, I think it was, and he cut inside, smashed her in the top corner, ran off to celebrate. And looking back at it now, the players that he celebrated with were such household names as Courtney Pitt, Neil Barrett, Jason Crowe, and Alberto Zamperini. Yeah. Alessandro Zamperini, sorry. So no, didn't have any other good players.
That's right. And this guy who went to the World Cup whilst he was at Portsmouth.
Well, I think because there was sort of talk that he was going to go, but he was still officially appointed player when he got selected, I think. Yeah. But he used to just leg it off after games.
He was a smoker as well.
Yeah.
Heavy smoker, apparently.
Yeah, like 50 a day, man.
Unbelievable.
But he did his thing, and I think he really did feel an affinity with the fans, and he was well loved. But towards the end of the season, he just sort of stopped trying a little bit. But I think he played. I mean, he would have played at least 30 games.
So 50 fags a day. That's like 3 at half time.
Yeah. I don't know if it's quite 50, but I can remember seeing him. Like, look, I remember seeing him outside. You know, sometimes when you go to the ground or you leave the ground, you see footballers. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing him looking, I can't remember if it was before the game or after the game, but he just looked like a homeless bloke. Like a beard, quite shaggy blonde hair, bag over his shoulder. Yeah. In my head, it's like a stick over his shoulder with a bag on the end, like waiting to him, but it wasn't. It was like a normal bag.
I now realise where you get your inspiration from.
Exactly, yeah. On my right foot. Yeah.
That's right.
He was, I mean, at the risk of boring people to death, he was superb.
It's his birthday, listeners. Come on.
I mean, Portsmouth finished 17th that season. They would have got relegated. It wasn't for Prozenek.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the first division, so the Championship.
Absolutely. He's just remarkable. Yeah. After Portsmouth, he had spells in Slovenia and Croatia.
He shouldn't have gone to Slovenia,
Yeah.
No one gave a shit then. I mean, Ljubljana, he went to Olympia. They were top division side, but no one cares about that. Stay at Pompey. You're loved.
Yeah. And still is. He's the only Englishman in the fans selected the Portsmouth's all-time 11.
He's
non-Englishman.
Oh, is he? Okay, right.
And of course now he is a part of Slaven Bilic's staff in the Croatian national team.
One of the things he also did for Pompey, and you can tell that he does. It's not. I'm not just making up that he loves Pompey because he did. He recommended that Krankar sign for Pompey.
Yes,
Krankar rung him.
Krankar was. There was a lot of buzz about him being like the next Prosinecki, wasn't there?
That's right.
Because he's very gifted technically.
Apparently, he spoke to Prosinecki, and Prosinecki was like, "Get yourself down there. It's a great place to play football." So, and it did open the door for. I mean, not that anyone cares about this, but it did open the door because the year after that, we managed to get Merson to sign. And then we got promoted the year after that, and then after that we got Sheringham. So, you know, it did sort of say, look, you know, we can have big players as well, and it was really important for Portsmouth.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up.
Well, you say that. I've got loads more here.
I'm going to end by saying that Miroslav Blazovic, who was manager at Dynamo Zagreb, he said once of Prozinecki, or he was involved in Zagreb, sorry. He said of Prozinecki when he was a youngster, he said, "If this lad makes it as a football player, I'll eat my coaching certificate." Well, you can stick it up your bollocks, pal.
Yeah, yeah.
Come in with that Hall of Fame.
Someone get that man a mic and fork.
I thought we were going to have a final word from you there, Luke. Can we have one? Can we have a quick one?
No, we can't have a quick one.
just a wonderful man to all he met. He's not dead.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you've stuck with us, even though it's been a little bit more echoey than normal.
Yeah.
We'll
get a ramble cave.
That'll be sorted for next week.
Absolutely. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and of course the website is thefootballramble.com.
And as of next week, what we might do is we might do a sort of forum topic of the week on the show, so get yourself over to our website, because there's lots of top football discussion and even some lols.
We've already had some very weird stuff come out of it, which is great.
There's some great gifts. Larissa Raquel May was on there at some point. Her play-by shoot,
without her knowledge, I might add, please. Without her prior consent,
I've done some drawings of her
out of fluids.
Too far.
Get this back.
Pull this back.
At least you're sorry this time.
Yeah. I'm learning.
And of course, we do have Ramble TV on there, and the magnificent blogs from our magnificent bloggers.
And there's Ramble Extra. as well.
Which we do every Friday for 442.
Oh, yeah, we're doing Diego Corner in Ramble Extra.
Oh, yes.
This week. There so get over there, find out what the little big man has been doing. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye, James or Jim.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, thanks for having me back.
And it's goodbye from me. We're all off on the sausage train. Ta-ta.
Choo-choo.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.